personality. If I, while everyone is filtering in, if I could have 5 or 6 boys and 5 or 6 girls who are between the ages of 8 and 12 who like to sing one song for me, I'd like you to come up right now if you could. Volunteerism means you do it. I don't have to call on you. Some young people who have been working this week, I'd like between 8 and 12. Who's between 8 and 12? Let's put up our hands. Who's between 8 and 12? There you go. Come on up. Come on up. It's an easy song. It's an easy song. Stand right here. Perfect. Thank you. Stand right here. You can all stand together. You don't bite. That's good. Come on up. That's good for now. Sometimes I think, you know, I know you have your own night, but sometimes I think you see all the singers come up here. But this has been on my heart. I have a song that I would like to sing, but I need you to sing this song first. It's "Every Promise in the Book is Mine." Every chapter, every verse, and every line. You know this one? If you don't, listen to the guy next to you. Sing loud. That's on my heart has been there since about the third message, and it hasn't been able to shake, so I was not going to wear my red tie so they wouldn't pick on me to lead this morning, and then I volunteered. Anyways, as the messages have been going forward this week, he has given us so much hope. He's given us so much promise. And one of the things that I think that we need to bury in our hearts along with that hope is that he is faithful. He is absolutely faithful to his promises. And that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, I can't get it out of my mind. But I thought, if we can listen to the young ones sing, every promise in the book is mine, now we stand on the fact that he is faithful to be able to fulfill that promise. So I would like us to stand this morning. It's on page 43.
Thank you.
I'd like to sing that song after she did that.
Oh,
again.
Unto you. Yea, I desire to pour out of my love and of my grace, of the living waters of the bread of life, to fill you, to satisfy you, to prepare you for the days that lie before you. For lo, I have a work for you to do, a work to share my love, to fulfill your ministry that I have given unto you, to minister to the needy, to minister to the downhearted, yea, to lift up the fallen. Yea, I do give you strength, I do give you wisdom to lead you and guide you in the way you should go, that you might bless people, that you might lift them, that you might comfort them. Yea, that the work of my kingdom might be fulfilled in the earth, saith the Lord.
What I say will be, yea, what I speak unto you, yea, I will bring to pass, yea, whether thou art willing or not, yea, I will bring it to pass, yea, thou can take the hard way, yea, or thou can yield thyself unto me this day. And yea, I will fill thee with my spirit. Yea, thou shalt speak things that thou knowest not of. Yea, thou shalt heal the sick. Thou shalt make the blind to see, the lame to walk. Yea, thou shalt speak in the name of the Lord thy God. And yea, it shall come to pass, even as it came to pass, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth, and yea, he spoke to the lame, and he spoke to the blind, he spoke to the afflicted, and those who were caught by the devil, yea, he came to break down and destroy the works of the devil, and yea, thou shalt do this also in the name of the Lord thy God. So, yea, yield thyself and be faithful.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Not by power.
but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. For it is not you that will be capable of performing the works that I have given unto thee, but as you yield yourself unto my Spirit, I shall flow through you, yea, unto this dying world which I love. For did I not come and give myself and die upon the cross, that I might bring all back unto the Father? I say unto thee, my people, you are my body. Yea, even as the Father did give unto me the power of the Spirit of the living God, so shall that power rest upon thee. But thou must walk softly and humbly before me, even as the Son did walk softly and humbly before me. Yea, he only did that which I did command him to do. He only performed the works that I asked him to do. And lo, I say unto thee, I will ask you to perform works. Be faithful. Do not fear, but just rely upon my Spirit, saith the Lord.
I know every part of thee, every intricate part. And yea, just as thou walks on this earth in thy natural abilities, and you have gifts in the natural, and you bless your place of employment, you bless those around about you. Yea, I have also created you to have spiritual gifts and abilities, my people. Yea, thou must be born of water and of Spirit. Yea, my people, know ye this, that thou art a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yea, those things, the old things, shall pass away, and all things shall become new, as thou break from the conformity of this world, and let thy mind be renewed, so that ye may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of my Father. Yea, my people, know ye this, that I have placed these gifts within thee. Yea, that these were that you have been ordained before the foundations of this world. Yea, that thou must walk forth by my Spirit. Yea, for it is only through thy weakness that the body shall be made strong when thou art walking under the anointing, my people. Yea, there is no room for that which you can do. But yea, when thou art under my anointing and those gifts which I have given you personally, yea, there is a place that is only for you to fill. But yea, my people, walk by my Spirit, and thou shalt do wondrous things. Yea, thou shalt move in ways that are not of your own strength. Yea, but it shall be my word. It shall be my ways, thus saith the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yea, saith the Lord to his people today. Yea, I say unto thee, for those, yea, whose hearts are burdened with distress, saith the Lord, come unto me, and I will help thee, says the Lord. Yea, the Lord speaks to his church this morning. Yea, my people, humble yourselves before me in the sight of the Lord. Yea, I say unto thee, if you will humble yourself, yea, to one another, become servants one to another, yea, and forgive the grievances between one another, yea, and not judge one another, yea, to accept any correction, says the Lord, that comes from your elders, says the Lord, to take it with humility, says the Lord, to ask for forgiveness, says the Lord, not to develop a grievance, says the Lord. I am looking for a people who will be humble and will do as I command without question, says the Lord. This army that I am making must answer without question, says the Lord. Yea, my son was the example, says your God. Yea, that with complete compliance, he went to the cross. He did this for you, says the Lord. Through every agony and groaning in pain, He took that cross. He took the beatings, says the Lord. They pulled His beard from His face, says the Lord. They pulled His hair, says the Lord. They placed a very painful crown of thorns upon His head, says the Lord. He did this in obedience for me, says the Lord. He took that cross. He took those nails in His hand, says the Lord. And it was with your name on His lips that He prayed for strength. He did this for you, says the Lord. Yea, I say unto thee, my people, do not say this is too hard. Do not say, I cannot do this, for your brother Jesus showed you the way. Through obedience and through prayer and through humility, He remained in prayer, asking for strength from His Father. And He prayed and He prayed and He prayed. My church, this is the way it should be. Yea, I say unto thee, when you are humble before me, and you are obedient to me, miracles will happen. Healings will happen. Oh, great, great, great healings within my church, says the Lord. Oh, my people, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and see what the mighty God can do that He's already been doing. I say unto thee, oh, my people, pray, 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 says the Lord. I love you so much. You are not unloved, not the tiniest child, and not the eldest elder, says the Lord. I love you all equally, unconditionally. Feel the power of the Lord in His arms of love around you this morning. Humble yourself in the sight of God, I say, says the Lord your God this morning.
Blessed art thou. Blessed art thou that standeth in the congregation of the righteous. Blessed art thou, saith the Lord, that does have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in this hour. Blessed art thou that has eyes to see, saith the Lord, the direction that I am guiding thee. Blessed art thou, saith the Lord, that hath a heart that is willing to yield unto me. For behold, I am telling thee of new things that I am doing in the land, saith the Lord. I am telling thee of new ways that I am leading my people, saith the Lord. Is it not a time, saith the Lord, to circumcise thine heart? Is it not a time to look within thyself and see what would be holding you back, saith the Lord? For as the tribe of Levi were told that the heritage of theirs was the Lord. Yea, thine heritage is the Lord, saith the Lord thy God. Yea, as I told the tribe of Levi not to be entangled with the things that the other tribes are entangled with, so I say unto thee, my people, be thou not entangled with the things that the world is entangled with, but follow me. Yea, I have set a path before thee. It is a path of righteousness. It is a path of life. It is a path that is lighted by my Holy Spirit, saith the Lord. He that hath ears to hear, he that has eyes to see, he that hath an heart to understand, hear the voice of the Lord thy God this morning.
Children, hear what the voice of the Spirit is telling you. I desire a people that will enter into their ministry. I tell you this day, do you wonder within your heart as you hear promises of miraculous things and wonder how it may come to pass in such weak vessels? I tell you this day, enter into your ministry, the ministry that I have placed upon you. Exercise the gifts that I have placed within you. Do not wonder within yourself and say, but I have such a small ministry. I have such humble little gifts. I tell you this day, enter into your ministry and you shall see miracles. You shall see wonders. Do not demean the gifts that I have placed within you. Do not demean the place that I have put you in your ministry. For I tell you, there is no small part in the body of Christ. There is no insignificant part in the body of Christ. For did I not bring out Christ in from humble circumstances? Do I not work among the small and the hidden? I tell you this day, be faithful in what I have given you and seek to enter in more and more fully and seek to be filled to overflowing by my Spirit, and you shall be surprised and you shall be amazed with where I shall take you and what I shall do within you, says the Lord God Almighty.
Do you not know that I have set you apart? Why do you doubt my plan for you, my children? Humble yourselves to me and look for the plan that I have for you and allow yourself to be an instrument in my plan. My children, I have given you so many gifts. My children, allow me to work through you those gifts and allow me to touch those around you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Children, for your gifts, they are not physical, for the physical will pass away, but they are spiritual gifts. Rise up, my children, and walk.
Use your gifts. Use your ministry, my children, for the battle is raging. The battle is already won, but we must use our gifts. My children, use your gifts.
Amen.
Everyone thirsteth. Come ye to the waters. Come ye to the waters and drink. Yea, I say unto thee, why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? Yea, I say unto thee, in this hour the Lord doth wait. He doth wait for that unity of the Spirit to rest upon his people. Yea, his arms are full. His storehouse is full. He stands ready to pour out a blessing upon thee, so great that thou cannot imagine or take it in. For yea, I have said unto thee, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But yet I would say unto thee that so often you don't take that yoke. You take the yoke of your own self, that yoke that the world would place upon you, and you try to pull the load in your own strength or in the power and suggestion in your own minds. But the Lord says unto thee, humble yourself. Lay yourself bare before me. Decide this day, do you want to go the easy road or the hard road? For yea, I say unto thee, it is your choice, my little ones. It is your choice to make. But the Lord thy God hath revealed unto thee
a way to walk on the highway of the Lord thy God, but it shall require something of thee, my little ones. It shall require you to lay down those things which you have held on to and raised up, yea, I would even say, as idols in your midst, and they have become that which you have given yourselves to. Yea, I say unto thee, lay these things down in this hour. Do not leave this place holding on to those things. Forgive thy brother his offenses. Amen. Forgive thy sister her offenses. Yes. These things are nothing compared to those things which the Lord thy God wants to give you. But yea, you must obey me. These must not just be words that you say. They must be the attitude of your heart. You must be willing to lay these things on the altar. Hallelujah. You must be ready to put these things aside. Because I cannot give you something into your hands when your hands are already full of those things for trying to buy that which is not bread. Hear the word of the Lord in this hour as it has been spoken by the many ones who have prophesied in my name this morning. These are not empty words. These are things that come from the mouth and the mind and the heart of the Lord thy God. Amen. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
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 Is like nothing compared to what I have for you. You come holding up a little cup to take away the blessing and the liberty that I have for you. But what you need is a giant, giant thing that you cannot even carry to bring the blessing. So do not limit what I have for you. Put aside that little cup. Put aside those little expectations. And open yourself to what I have for you.
You can be seated.
I'm going to call on Sister Johanna York. If she had... Johanna? She prepared a song for us.
Trust him, I know.
So wonderful to be here with my family, Sushila and my son Sajit. So good to be with the saints. We truly enjoyed the blessings the Lord has for us. It has been such a good time. Amen?
Amen.
Let's read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Can someone read that from the congregation, please? Thank you. Amen. Thank you, sister. The church at Colossae is a small little town now in modern Turkey. Laodicea and Hierapolis and Colossae were three little towns where Apostle Paul ministered. But he was not in Colossae, he lived in Ephesus. It's about 100 miles from Ephesus. If you go to modern Turkey today, you will see all these places. It'll be a nice trip for you, kind of get a little idea about the churches where Paul ministered and wrote to them. We don't have any congregations anymore. It's all dead and gone. At the time Paul wrote this epistle, the church at Colossae had faced so many challenges. They were facing, most importantly, what is called as Gnostic heresy. Gnostics was a group at the time which tried to intellectualize Christianity and tried to corrupt the teachings of Jesus Christ. So actually, if you read the entire epistle, you will find out how Apostle Paul tried to counter-argue their arguments. It's a very important epistle. When you have got time, you must read from the beginning till the end. I just want to break it down for you, some of them if I can. I'm reading from New International Version. I wanted to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. He was not there in person. According to the scripture, if you read in chapter 1, Colossae, verse 7, the founder of the church at Colossae was Epaphras. So he was the one, he was the minister in charge at Colossae. So he writes, I learned from Epaphras, a dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. He got a good report of that church from Epaphras. And then he goes on to advise how they should stand strong in their faith and how relevant it is even today. Perhaps this was written around 75 AD, and even today every word that is written there is applicable to us. Amen? Verse 2, my purpose is that they may be encouraged. They may be encouraged. A real church of New Testament is a church of encouragement. If there is no encouragement in the church, there is no spirit that will move in the church. We need to encourage each other, people of God. This encouragement comes from your heart. It is not through some courses that you take how to encourage people. It is from your heart, through your smiles, to a kind word, the way you greet people, the way you usher people in the congregation. Church should never be a place where you will say, I wish I don't go there. Because as you walk in there, there is a sense of discomfort. People of God, we should be sensitive to make everyone at home in a local congregation. You may have to go extra mile to smile at a person, to greet at a person, to to help a person to make him at home in your local congregation. Apostle Paul was aware of that at the church in Colossae. And he said very clearly that they may be encouraged. This word encourage has a deep rooted word in Greek, paraklein, meaning to comfort or to exhort. Praise God. Not every day everyone comes to the church with a lot of enthusiasm. They have situations going through in their life. And we should be sensitive, understand, and make them at home. Encourage them. We heard the prophecies today about the use of gifts. One of the gifts which has to be evidently seen is prophecy. And the prophetic words will encourage people, will admonish people, will exhort people. I tell you, this year especially, there is a wonderful moving of the prophetic gift in our congregation here. That is wonderful to see that everyone is being used to speak the word. It is not the message from the pulpit that is more important. What is more important is the members of the body of Christ minister to one another. Oh, hallelujah. How much I rejoice at every prophetic word that came this morning and the previous meetings. Oh, hallelujah. Those words are for encouragement, people of God. It is not for critical analysis, but to apply our lives and to change our lives and to build our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Prophecy, as I said, for strengthening. Amen. It is not to pull somebody down, but to strengthen the person, to edify the person, to build the person. Oh, hallelujah. How much I want to change. Is there anyone here who doesn't want to change? For good. I want change. We all want to change. Praise God. People, we need to go on, go forward, not to be stuck somewhere, but keep moving on. Glory to God. Glory to God. Same scripture. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Second component, second ingredient in the church should be love. The church should be filled with the agape love. Amen? If there is no love, there is no real church, whatever you may say to me. If there is no real church, real love manifested, there is no real church. Praise God. When love dies, the church dies. To some extent. Why sometimes the services are like funeral services? I'm sorry if I use a little elaborate language there. Because there is no love transmitting between. the members of the body of Christ should be transmitting love to one another. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. When there is love, there is joy, there is laughter. There is rejoicing in the tent of Jacob. Amen. Praise people of God, when we come to the assembly, there should be rejoicing. There should be joy in the house of the Lord. There should be love in the house of the Lord. Praise God. As we heard the prophecy this morning, forgive the offenses one has caused you to lose your joy. When you come into the church, all those things should be out of the door. Amen? Amen. I tell you, Satan is always trying to steal your joy. A little reason, not a big reason, a small reason will come into your head to steal your joy. People of God, we should be sensitive to make the house of the Lord a place of joy. Amen? Sometimes it is hard though, but you should think this way. Lord, no one should go joyless because of me. I should be an instrument to make people joyous in the church. We have a little church in Brooklyn, I tell you. When we come together, we really make a lot of noise. We sing quite loud. There is no music, nothing, but we just sing. And sing. There is such a great blessing in the assembly. Brother Robert Prasad was there a couple of weeks ago, and he'll attest to that. People of God, what will happen when there is joy, when there is love in the worship? The chains will be broken. The yokes will be destroyed. The sadness will disappear. There is a wonderful peace that will hover upon the congregation. Are you with me, people of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We return to our local congregations. Maybe they're small, but I want to tell you, even five people, when we worship in that spirit-filled joy, there is a wonderful blessing that will flow into the assembly. At the same time, one person sitting there with a little mean spirit, that will also have its effect on the assembly. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Colossian church had this problem. He said, so Apostle Paul taught them. Mind you, the assembly of Colossae was a mixed assembly. Gnostics, Greeks, and this Judaizers who didn't want them to believe in Christ, creating confusion all over the place. And Apostle Paul had to stand strong. He said, this is what it is. Yes. Amen? Amen. And praise God. And we are no better than them even today. We have to have these teachings very clear. And our local congregation stood knit in love. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. Where there is love, I tell you, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I will read that to you quickly. What is all about love? Same apostle is writing about the attributes of love. I know we have read this many, many times, but I want to read again. We should just remember that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I may have a tremendous amount of faith, but if I have no love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. This is important here. Please pay attention. Love is patient. Love is kind. Oh, it doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Are you with me on that? Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's a pretty serious statement. Hallelujah. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Hallelujah. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. What a wonderful attributes of love. Love never fails. It will never fail. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Their tongues, they will be still. Where there are knowledge, it will pass away. People of God, I know these messages we have heard very many times, but somehow I was praying, I was thinking about the camp, Lord, if I have a time to share, what should I share? And this thought came to me over and over again about love in the church. Hallelujah. It's not just say I love you, that is not enough. Real love, agape love, the love of Christ. Ephesian church had a big problem. They had all the other good things, but John, the apostles, write them. You have forsaken your first love. What is first love anyway? That first love. We all know that, especially those who are married. We're all guilty of that to some extent. That first love when we saw spouses. It is much more than that in the church of God. First love for one another. That is what we need in the church, people of God. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Amen? That thought should not even come to you when you try to love somebody. Oh, he did that to me, he said that to me, he behaved that way, this way. That's all gone. Amen? It is just like in your home. How many times children are, you know, we argue and all those things, but at the end of the day, we forgive everything and behave as if nothing happened. That's how in the church it should be. Amen? This is not something new, but this we have to implement. We have to practice. We have to see it in the church. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Let me go back to Colossians. Please don't think this is something critical or anything of that sort. This is just for everybody that we have to. Yes, it's the word of God. Amen. And continuing in chapter 2, Colossians. So that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Oh, praise God. Here is a deeper thought. When you practice love, they encourage each other, you will understand something deeper. That is the mystery of God. That is Christ Himself who dwelt among us. Are you with me, people of God? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. The word understanding has a Greek origin word, synesis, just understanding. The Wise Version translates as understanding. Actually, it means critical knowledge in secular language. Those of us students, you know how at the end of a unit, after all the questions are all given, then there is a part called critical knowledge. How do you apply what you have learned? Same thing here. Apostle Paul is admonishing them that you may all have this critical knowledge how to apply in your life. Amen? It's the ability to assess any situation and decide what practical course of action necessary within it. And this is from the Spirit of God. This understanding is from the Spirit of God. A real church will have this critical understanding, this practical knowledge of what to do whenever an action is called for. In other words, to be very simple, not running to the court of law, because they learn to resolve that, but God gives this synesis, this practical knowledge to resolve within the church with the help of God. Amen? I don't know about here in India, the churches, they disagree. The leadership disagree, people disagree, the next step, they go to the court of law. And right in Wayanad, I don't know if I showed you Andy and Brother David Luff or Marcus, right in Wayanad itself, when we go for walking, same denomination, have built two churches face to face. Right there, right location. In competition, same type, same painting, everything. This is how things go in the world. And we thank God that God has given this understanding by the Spirit to resolve our matters in the local church or in the universal church. Praise God. This very important, people of God, that it depend on the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom? In Christ. In Christ, all the wisdom and knowledge is hidden in Him. Oh, praise God. Amen. The wisdom word is Sophia. And knowledge is Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. I just want to give a little Gnosis, that is G-N-O-S-O-S-I-S, is the power, almost intuitive and instinctive, to grasp the truth when we say it and hear it. That is Gnosis, that is knowledge. Now, Sophia, the wisdom, is the power to confirm and to commend the truth with wise and intelligent argument once it has been intuitively grasped. Okay? Now that is what Apostle Paul is saying. Gnosis is that by which a man grasps the truth. Sophia is that by which a man is enabled to give reason for the hope that is within him. That wisdom he's talking about. Amen? Now listen to this. So, the real church, when I say real church, I'm not saying we have unreal church. I'm just giving a word there, that's all. For lack of a better word, the real church will have the clear-sighted situation, any wisdom. Let me repeat that. So the real church will have the clear-sighted wisdom which can act for the best in any given situation. Why? Because we depend upon that wisdom that is in Christ. Glory to God. Isn't it powerful? Isn't it powerful, people of God? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't get into too many troubles because we depend upon Jesus Christ, in whom all the wisdom and all the knowledge is hidden. Oh. The wisdom which can instinctively recognize and grasp the truth intelligible to the thinking mind, and persuasively commend to others. That is what we are possessing. Glory to God. Now, we have intellectuals in the world, no doubt about it. I will never deny the intellect people. But they intelligence is limited to the books and the things that they have grasped. It's a secret to the intelligentsia. Amen? But for the church of God, glory to God, our faith is not a secret which is hidden, but it is a revealed secret through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's why Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, I think, when you were called among you, not many were from the nobility or wise and so on. You were just ordinary people. But yet, this wisdom of Christ, you were able to understand without any difficulty. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Praise God, amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Oh, glory. I'm reading from 9. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with practices, this is exactly what I'm emphasizing on, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. Look at the wordings. I like the wordings. Renewed in knowledge. In the image of its creator. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Renewed in the knowledge. In knowledge, in the image of its creator. Pretty deep. Here there is no Greek. Amen. No Jew. Circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. When the hidden knowledge is revealed to us through Christ. Christ is in all, and Christ is all that we have. That's exactly what Apostle Paul is teaching. You Colossians, I know you're going through Gnostic heresy. You're going through many other problems in your church. But I would encourage you today, you have Christ who has covered you with this wisdom. Amen. So also us today, people of God. It is not the argument. It is not the intellectualism. But a simple fact that Christ is in us. The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the simple message that elevates you from all other levels. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. This is a very important one. True church must have the power to resist the seductive teaching. What does that mean, seductive teaching? In Colossians we read verse chapter 2, verse 3 or 4, I tell you so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. This is very careful, people, these days. People will come to argue with you and very convincingly make you agree with you. Praise God. And we should be very careful. Apostle John speaks very, very clearly about that. We have an anointing. Verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 20. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. People, remember this. You have an anointing upon you about the Holy One, and you know the truth. Amen? You might not be able to put it in words to counter argue, but in your spirit, you know where you are. You should feel very firmly in your heart, I am very much at home in my local church. Don't allow anyone to sway you, giving all kinds of promises. That's exactly what Apostle Paul is telling them. Praise God. Revelation chapter 2, 16. Again, Apostle John appreciates them, the church at Ephesus. You hated the practice of the Colossians, which also I hate. Even today, we have intruders, I would say, trying to convince you. Most importantly, I have come across people trying to talk to you about the second coming of Christ and tribulations and all those things. I like the approach of the brethren along those lines so much. This is all we know. We don't know. We don't speak what we really don't know. But yet, don't get confused with people who is after you along those lines. His coming is definite, absolutely. His physical coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is absolutely true, and it is true, it'll happen. But no one can have a timeline attached to it. The word of God very clearly says, even the Son of Man does not know when he will come. But it's encouraging for you and me that we encourage each other about his coming. Because that's when the fullness of the kingdom of God will be established on the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It'll be an exciting day. We don't know whether we'll be living on the earth at the time. It'll be wonderful if that'll happen. But I'm not really worried if it doesn't happen, because I'm already on the way to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? I want to encourage one word with that. Even those people who will be after you along those lines, read this to them. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. This is what we should do. Verse 8 through 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 8 to 11. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Amen. That is the key, people of God. It is not the tribulation. It is not the resurrection of the dead. But what is more important is we will live together with Him. Amen? Amen. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That is what is important. Glory to God. The true church that which we are in should have such a grip of the truth that it is unmoved by enticing teachings. That's why we have the local congregations. That's why we have the regional camps. That's why we have the camps here. In order to be strengthened, in order to be strong, in order to be steadfast. Praise God. Praise God. For God is not a God of disorder, but of order. Amen. He does everything according to His plan, according to His pattern. The very fact that you are here in this place, it is in the plan of God. You believe that? Yes. Amen. We have traveled from long distances to be in His presence. And it is in the plan of God. I just want to close with this thought. The church should be orderly and firm. What do you mean by that? It is not sitting in the rows and just observing all high manners and be quiet, conservative. That is not what I meant. That's what it means. That's good in a way, but it is more than that. When we come together, there is an order. According to Paul's writing, the order should be like a soldier's discipline. Amen? That includes arriving on time. Every meeting. Punctuality is a part of our order. The word he uses here, taxis, T-A-X-I-S, meaning a rank or an ordered arrangement. But among us, it should be dictated by the Spirit of God. Amen? It is not a man-made arrangement, although there is a little bit of that, but most importantly, it has to be ordered by the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how to explain more than that, people of God. I hope you understood me. Glory to God. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is the order. Verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers? Include sisters too. When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. That is the key. That is the key. I appreciate the wisdom of the brethren. When there are so many requests come from the congregation to sing and so on, they pray about it and decide whether that song is appropriate or not. It is not just a random pick, but it is designed in the order of God so that it all fit in together. It says order will be perfect. And we all should fit into that plan of God. Amen. When there is an order, when there is firmness, when there is a proper arrangement, there will be no confusion. It will be steady. It will be strong. It will benefit everyone. If there is disorder, if it is on a shaky foundation, it will affect everyone in a negative way. Amen. People of God, let us move on. Let us go on. Steady and strong and bear witness unto the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. It is such a wonderful time. Amen. Let us keep pressing on. Pressing on until we reach our destination. God bless you all. Amen. Can we all stand up and sing that song? Thou shalt not be a stranger. Thou shalt not be a stranger. Thou shalt not be a stranger,
going out
where to go.
Thou shalt no longer be a stranger,
but a manifest son of God,
walking in his power and
glory upon this earthly song. One more time, please. Shall no longer be a stranger,
wandering to and fro.
Thou shalt no longer be a stranger,
going not
where to go. Thou shalt no longer be a stranger, but a manifest son of God, walking in his be seated. Any announcements? Anybody?